First Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6. So we're back into our weird study. We're back into our study of being weird. We want to be not normal. Normal isn't really working. It's a worldly standard. And so this is part four in the series, but we're talking tonight about money or finances or wealth or whatever you want to do. So this is part one on wealth. And so next week we'll figure out how to be better servants and stewards for the Lord with what he has given us. As we talk about money, let me ask you this question. When you were a kid and you looked at other people and their lifestyle, what constituted somebody who was rich? Huh? The clothes they wore?
Yeah.
Okay. Say again. The house they lived in. Yeah. They what?
They had color TV.
Whether they had color TV or not. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
The side of town they lived on. Yeah.
The side of town they lived on. Okay. That's a good. Ronnie?
What side of the tracks?
What side of the track? Yeah. Depends on what side of the tracks you lived on.
What their phone number began with, 756.
Yeah. That's 589, you were just the normal guys. Yeah, man. I grew up in a trailer. We were trailer trash, so anybody lived in a house, we were like, those people got to be rich, man. It's like, well, it's only got one bedroom, one bath. It's not a big house. I don't know if it's a house. You got to be rich. What's that?
Not on wheels.
Yeah, not on wheels. I remember my uncle, he always had a motorcycle. I go, wow, he must make a lot of money. He's got a motorcycle. That's amazing. And so, but anyway, do you ever ask the question, if I had their money, boy, if I lived in that house or if I had his money or if I had this, I wouldn't do the dumb stuff or I wouldn't buy all the stuff that he's done or they've done to take care of that. Have you ever looked like that to other people? You know you have. You just admit it. Just shake your head and go, yeah. Oh, man, if I had that guy's money, I wouldn't be buying that dumb stuff. I wouldn't put that dumb thing out. That looks ugly. Why would they do it? Well, if I had his money, I'd do something different. And so it's funny when it's other people's money, right? You want to tell everybody else how to use their money. But when it comes to your own, that's a little different story. The University of Warwick in the UK did a money and happiness study. Now listen to this. Their research concluded that for most people, in order for them to feel happy about how much money they have, it has to be more than what their friends or colleagues have. And that, well, that's the way some people live. You got to keep up with the Joneses. Or actually, you got to be better than the Joneses in order to be happy. And the problem comes when you have that kind of mindset, because no matter how much you make, it isn't enough. And that's what we have to get rid of. Solomon could have saved those researchers a heck of a lot of time in Ecclesiastes 5:10. He said, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income." This is also vanity. This is the mindset of our culture today. Enough is never enough, right? What was that Rockefeller? They asked him, "Hey, how much is enough?" And he said, "One more dollar." It's like, okay, well, I guess enough is never enough. And so, but this is our culture. Enough is never enough. There's more to earn. There's more to spend. There's more to buy. There's more to save. There's more to go into debt for. And that's what we do. That's what we keep doing. And so the standard of wealth is complicated only by the fact that for most of us today, we probably wouldn't consider ourselves rich, would we? How many of you are rich? Okay. Rich in the Bible. That's good. So stop and think of what you make. Let's just go there. Because being rich is somewhat cultural, right? And let me explain. So if you don't think you're rich, people that made $40,000, let's say 50 or 60 years ago, would that be a lot of money? That'd be pretty good money, wouldn't it? That's back in the what? 70s? 60s? Yeah, you make 40 grand back in those days, you're making good money. But that same amount, which was good then, if you make 40 grand today, is that good money? Not really, is it? The average income in America is $75,000 a year. Anything below that is poverty. That's amazing. You're like, 75? Man, that seems awful high for the average income. Well, because each state is different in their economy. Every state is different in the way they have the hourly wage. What is that? The minimum wage. Yes. Minimum wage is different in every state, even though the federal government does it as a standard. Do you know that? Every state has a different minimum wage in it, but the government does it differently. Now, culture and times differ as far as the standard of richness. Back in 1910, $1 million would have probably been a lot of money, right? That would have been a lot of money. And even though I would still say somebody with $1 million is rich, today that's a drop in the bucket. There's a lot of people that just have $1 million. I mean, in order for people to look at somebody to be rich, he'd have to be like Elon Musk or somebody that's a billionaire. They're like, well, rich people, those are the ones in the billionaires. But 98% of American churchgoers don't consider themselves to be rich. I'm poor. I'm a humble pastor. I live on a humble salary. You just ask me, I'll tell you how humble I am. But the real issue is this. Generally speaking, if you don't consider yourself to be rich, you probably have skipped the Bible, skipped over all of the passages that deal with wealth and wealthy people. And that becomes a problem because if you don't think you're rich, you're going to look at the Bible where it talks about rich people and you'll skip them. Right? Because you're not going to need to look at them. Well, I'm not rich. I'm not a gossip. I'm not going to look at those passages. I don't get easily angered. I'm going to skip that passage. If it doesn't apply or you don't think it applies to you, we skip over it and we move on. And that's the issue that we have. And you can say, yeah, those rich people, they better listen. There's some people that I know, they should be in here tonight and they need to hear this message. But if you come across the passages, it's directly aimed at the rich people. How would you respond? How would you respond to this right here? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. He says, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires. They plunge people into ruin and destruction. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So the problem we do is we look at that and we go, oh, it's money. Money is the root of all kinds of, the love of money is the root of all kinds of problems. And that's those rich people that love money. They have all kinds of problems. That's why their life's falling apart. 50% of the world lives off $2 a day. As we said, Jeff, were you talking about $100 a week back 60s, 70s, 1970? Yeah, some woman, I went in there, she asked me my birth date or something. I told her, she's like, oh, you were born in the 1900s. I'm going, 1900? That's not that long ago. Come on, man. That's terrible. But 50% of the world's population today lives on $2 a day. Do you realize that? And you're like, I spend more on that on my Starbucks coffee. Well, that's 3 days worth of stuff for them people. That's 3 days worth of life. One Starbucks, 3 days worth of somebody else's life. That's crazy, isn't it? You ever think that way? I'm not sure that I do. Rich is relative. We lose sight of how wealthy we really are when we focus more on our TV and our movies and magazines, when all of that stuff tells you what rich is. What are you influenced by? Social media, magazines, television, what the most popular American thought is? We ought to think biblically. Do you feel more richer now than when I first asked you the question? I'm trying to go somewhere with this. There's nothing wrong with rich. And I want you to understand that. There's nothing wrong with having money. And there's nothing wrong with using that money to enjoy things. Because God gave us that to do with it. Amen? In 1 Samuel 2:7, it says, "The Lord makes the poor, he makes the rich, he brings low, he exalts." God's the one that does all these things. But there's nothing wrong with it. However, we got to have a weird mindset about wealth, not the normal mindset. This type of shift is going to, you're going to have to break the consumer mindset in order to have a global mindset. We look at this Burger King mindset, we want everything our way. It has to be our way. If you earn $37,000 a year today, you are in the top 4% of all wage earners alive around the world. Do you get that? $37,000 or more. You're in the top 4% of everybody, of the richest people around the world. That's not a lot of money to us, right? Didn't we just say that? $40,000 today, that's not much. Well, this is $37,000. If you make $45,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of all wage earners around the world. Top 1%. $45,000 or more per year, you are in the top 1% of all wage earners. You ever heard that? That's a weird one, isn't it? So if you're going to honor God with his wealth, not yours, and give him honor and glory, you ought to understand we need to have the mindset not like most Americans think, because we need to be not normal. We need to think weirdly than the normal people do. Most people think that they plan for retirement, and that's not a bad thing. You ought to plan ahead. Most people are focusing on material wealth instead of God's provision, and you might want to check your motives. You don't want to put all your eggs into the love of money. This is where we have to separate. This is where you have to have a balance. And I don't think we've had a balance. And 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19, Paul says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of what is truly life." Even if you hold to a biblical mindset of money, we might not be handling it the way that is pleasing to God. Like I said, until you acknowledge how rich we truly are, you're going to struggle with sharing and giving and serving other people with with God's resources. It's a mindset to look at it as manager as opposed to owner. Right? Do we own anything? No. God does. He owns it all. We're stewards of what he's given us. And it's a mindset. It's a heart issue, really. But have you ever seen the Capital One commercials where they go, "What's in your wallet?" It's not so much what's in your wallet, it's so much as what's in your heart. Because that's where, you know, be careful of your mind, because out of it flows the issues of life. That's where everything comes from. What the heart wants is what it's going to get, and that's what you're going to focus on. So instead of focusing on our wallet, we need to focus on what's truly important to God. So when it comes down to it, it's more of a heart issue than anything. Jesus asked the rich guy in Luke 18, you remember, he said, "What must I do to get into the kingdom of heaven?" And he said, you know, keep all the commandments. He said, I've kept them all. What now? And he goes, sell everything you have and give it away. And the guy walked away mad because he had a lot of stuff. And Jesus said this as soon as he walked away. In Luke 18, 24 through 30, Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, he said, how difficult is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard it said, well, then who can be saved? But Jesus said, what's impossible with man is possible with God. We forget that if you have no money, you have to rely on somebody or something else. But the people that are rich in this world, they have no need for God. Why? Because their money takes care of all their needs. They don't realize the spiritual need that they have of eternal life. And that's probably one of the most important things. And so he goes on, verse 28. Peter said, see, we've left our homes and followed you. And Jesus said, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left his house, his wife, his brothers, parents, or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and you'll despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Luke 12:15, Jesus said, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of what he possesses. I think people ought to look at some of these things. What we do, we look at other people and you know, we say, look at that guy, look at this guy, but we need to look at ourselves. We need to look at our own hearts and realize how rich we truly are. Most of our culture today is in debt up to their eyeballs, and they can't afford none of it. Matter of fact, most of them are going from credit card to credit card, paying this credit card payment with that credit card payment, and absolutely getting themselves into trouble, and they want the government to bail them out. And some people are trying to get rich themselves, and it's hard to tell somebody about the sovereignty of God and the free will of man, where we look at the American dream and everybody's like, well, you can do whatever you want. You can be as rich as you want to be. And then the one people's like, man, I work six jobs. I'm trying everything I can, and that stuff ain't happening. Why? Because I think they forget to put the Lord into those factors. We forget to put God into every aspect of our lives. In Deuteronomy 8, 17 through 18, God says, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Who gives us the power? Well, I did, because I'm the one that did my job. And then my boss said, oh, you're doing a great job. I'm going to give you a raise. Now I make more money. Was that you or was that God? You got to put things in the proper perspective. And I think we forget to do that. Whether you agree that we're rich or not, Craig has some three challenges that go along with being rich. Number one, being rich makes it harder to depend on God. Would you agree with that? Being rich makes it harder to depend on God. So what I mean by that is this. I'm sure, I'm not 100% sure, maybe you have, but I don't think any of us have ever gotten up on any given day and prayed, God, please supply my daily food. I need food today. God, please supply it. Has anybody done that? I know I haven't. I've said, thank you, God, because I got this to choose from and that to choose from and this, and I can have that, and I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat on the weekend, and I've got stuff ready to go. It's hard. It's very hard, especially when you have such abundance. We don't pray. Remember the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6? Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Well, who prays for daily bread? We just go out on Friday and get everything we need for an entire week, right? We store it up all week long. We've got so much, I don't think, you know, we got so much abundance to go, and let me get a Twinkie, and I get a couple cupcakes, and I'll go down here and get to, oh, I'll eat a banana because that's good, and that makes the other stuff, it's all good if I eat fruit or something, or vegetables, or, but we don't, we look at stuff, we've got so much stuff, and then we don't think we're rich, and we really don't rely on God the way we should. Being rich makes it harder to depend on God. We have good homes, we've got good wages, we've got insurance, we've got health care, we've got retirement, we've got plenty of safety nets that we worship, right? Now, there is nothing wrong with those things, nothing wrong with those things. And those things can be very wise to help you take care of you down the road. But don't let them hinder your ability to trust in God for your needs. Don't trust in those things. Trust in God to use those things to meet your needs. Don't trust in them. I remember some family member that I knew had 401k, and they were going to retire very quickly, and boom, 2008 hit, shot that down, and they wigged out, like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? What are you putting all your eggs in that basket for? What are you trusting in that for? But it's hard. It's hard to tell people when you've got to be the one to search your heart. You've got to be the one to check where you're at. Godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6. That's what Paul says. Godliness with, be content with where you're at. But we don't. We have that consumer mindset. I want everything my way. Number two, being rich distracts you from true priorities. Oh, what does that mean? It means that there's all kinds of opportunities all around us for us to take away from the focus of money. Travel. There's travel. You can do whatever you want. You can go wherever you want. You can, you know what? I think I'm going to go camping this weekend, and I'll just take a day off of work. I got vacation time. I'll take Sunday off, and I'll just go camping because I can do that, right? But is it my best choice? This goes back to good choices and best choices. We want to do what's best, but we've got so many reasons not to come to church that most people don't, right? Summertime comes and people are checked out on Wednesday and Sunday. That's where your numbers are the lowest. Why? Well, because it's nice out. Sure. It's hot too, isn't it? So is hell. And I'm sure those people down there wish they could do a lot more than what they're doing now. But we have to live our lives with eternity in the background. There's nothing wrong with taking some time off and taking some rest off. But do you ever take away from serving God? Do you ever take away from honoring God? We must, because a lot of people do it, and they have absolutely no conviction that it's wrong. Camping, it's good. Fishing's good. Whatever. Most people are like, I'm not doing anything Sunday night. That's family time. Well, family time can be any time. Why don't we do family time during the week and Saturday or Friday, or, but nope, it's got to be during church time. The enemy will always bring up any opportunity to take you away from doing what you're supposed to do. And that's such a shame. But many people in third world countries have dirt floors, no TVs, no furniture, maybe a table and some bench seats to eat on. And that's how they live their lives. Every day, hoping mom and dad bring food home. And have absolutely no other distractions with cell phone, social media, or anything. And the people that have been in these countries to visit them see the joy, the peace, and the tranquility that they have. And you're like, wow, why are you guys so peaceful? You don't have anything. That's why. They have nothing to distract them from just joy. You remember back in your childhood? Those were simpler times. We didn't have all this stuff. Well, very true. So why do we flood our lives with all that stuff today? If it was better back then, remember when we say, oh, we had it better back then because we didn't have all that stuff. We went outside and we played. We did all that stuff. Well, why are we doing it today? Why are we allowing our kids to do all that stuff today? Most parents, I'm telling you, most parents I see, all they'll do is have a big tablet or iPad or something, and when they go somewhere or they do something, they shove that right in the kid's face to keep them calm and keep them occupied. When we went to restaurants, we went to doctor's appointments, we did anything, I was told to sit down, shut up, and don't you freaking move. You got up, buddy. You're the hand of correction to the seat of knowledge was really red. We're losing. But joy, all of those things distract us from joy in Christ because we have to have all this stuff. And the joy and the peace and the happiness goes away because being rich distracts us from true priorities. When we talk about Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence there's fullness of joy. But we're not trying to be in the presence of Christ. We're trying to be in the presence of whatever makes us happy for the time. Summertime, it's camping and boating and this and vacations and going out and do it. And I said there's nothing wrong with doing those things within themselves. But when that takes your life, that takes your priority away from God, where's your true focus? Number three, being rich gives you greater responsibility. This one I don't think we listen to as much. Why do you think God made us so rich? So that we can do whatever we want with our money? No, that's not the idea. God had a different plan. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, he says, to everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. God has made us rich, and he expects us to use his resources for his kingdom and for his glory. And so you have to ask yourself the question, are we doing it? Most Christians use it on themselves. And to have a biblical mindset, we want to make the best use of God's money. Thomas Fuller said, debt is the worst poverty. It don't matter how much you make. If you're in debt up to your eyeballs, living paycheck to paycheck, you're not rich at all. And so many people live that way. So many people live so far in debt that they charge so many things that they don't have money for. MasterCard and Visa, American Express, all of the credit card debt in February of 2024 is $1.13 trillion. That's American credit card debt, $1.13 trillion. That's what people spend in America on credit card debt. That's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing the kind of lifestyle people want to lead. Survey showed that 72% of household Americans have credit card debt. 72% of homes in America have credit card debt. That's a lot. That's a lot. I forget how many people are actually in America, but you ought to take some biblical warnings. We need to be more biblically mindset. Proverbs 13:7, one pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. See all those people with the jewelry and the rings and the flashy cars and all that stuff? Absolutely so far in debt up to his eyeballs, he owns not one bit of it. And some of it gets repoed because he can't pay for it at some point. It's sad, absolutely sad. Proverbs 21:20, the NASB says, there is precious treasure and oil in the home of the wise, but a foolish person swallows it up. People that are wise with God's money have enough to help people, do good works, and then have excess to leave over to have some things for themselves, to take care of themselves. But foolish people just use every penny they make and don't save nothing up. We need to be responsible and use the Lord's money very wisely. So we're going to talk about next week. How do we use God's money wisely? Because here's the issue. And remember, I said, or God says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited, and don't set your hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Did you get that? God supplies us with all things so that we can enjoy them. Are we allowed to enjoy some stuff that money can buy? Absolutely. God says you can, because he gives it to people to enjoy. God knows, because he was alive, he was a man, he was 100% man, even though he was still God, and he knows that you have to have some type of enjoyment in this life. That's where Jesus gave the abundant life. He took all the work out of eternal life, right? He said, here you go, come to me and I will give you rest for your souls. You have eternal life, take it easy, and now work for the kingdom. You've got your eternal life, come work for the kingdom, but enjoy it while you're here. This is still God's wonderful creation, still got all kinds of things that we can do to enjoy, because God give us all of those things. So we should be able to do it. However, 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10, he says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and many foolish, harmful desires which plunge people into ruin and destruction, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You ought to have a biblical perspective. There's a pendulum. There's always a pendulum. And you don't want to go to the opposite of desiring so much money to be so rich so you don't have to depend on God so you can be over here, because it's going to, as it says, you're going to wander from the faith. And it's going to pierce yourself through with many griefs. That's this end. And then this end, you totally depend on God, where you can't enjoy nothing. All your money has to go to him, and you just got to act like a monk in a monastery because you can't do nothing. That's not it either. It's right here in the middle. You're working for God in the kingdom, but you're enjoying some things that you like. We need to have a balance. That pendulum can't be one way or the other. It's got to be right there in the middle. And we have to know, we have to have discernment of what that balance is, right? I think that's our problem, is not knowing the discernment of where that balance should and shouldn't be. And so Jesus said, like I said, in Matthew 6, 24, nobody can serve two masters. You're either going to hate the one and love the other, you're going to be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and wealth all in the same breath. It's got to be one or the other. And so we can't be serving ourselves. We need to serve God through all of it. It's not what we give back to God that you will ever have to give an account for. It's what we keep. Always remember that. What you give to God, you'll never have to give an account for. It's only what you keep. Does that make sense? Think about that one. What you tithe, what you offer, what you help people who are in true need, when you give to them and you are doing kingdom work, you'll never have to give an account for that money. It's only what you keep that you'll stand and give an account for. Any questions? Does that make sense? I confused somebody on that one. I'm twice judged, because when you give and I give, and then I spend what you give and I give, then I'm going to get an account for what you, and I'm spending, because that's, so I'm, anyway. That's some bad stuff right there, Ben. Maybe we'll elect somebody else to be the mediator between that one. It is. I don't think we realize how rich we truly are. Jeff.
And that's exactly, it's true.
Yeah. But I think for most people, let me rephrase that. Most people don't have a budget. Most people don't know what bills they have per month. Most people don't know how much money is exactly coming in per month. And they don't have the balance sheet. They just know they have to pay bills, and they know they got money coming in, and they just kind of spend. So they don't know what's all going out and what's all coming in. But with that mindset, most people today are like, okay, I spend this, I make this. Oh, I got a little raise. That means I can spend more.
That means you pay more taxes.
True. Yeah, and you do pay more taxes. Right. They'll tax you to death, even after you're dead. They tax you when you're dead, and they tax your coffin in there. You're still paying taxes, and you're gone. This is the way it is, man. They used to send bills to Mom's house and make phone calls, and we'd answer them, and they'd be like, yeah, we're looking for Richard Zediker. And I'd go, yeah, so are we. He died about a month ago, but if you're looking for a bill for him, I don't think he's going to pay it. I'm like, well, you heard surviving relative. I'm like, nope, don't look at me. I ain't paying nothing. Go find him. Go get it. I'm like, man, that's, but anyway, we ought to be weird. That's weird to look at our money for an eternal purpose, but that's what God says is true riches. Spending your money to invest in people's lives so they can have heaven and eternal life, that's true riches, because we'll have that forever.